So because of that, it actually didn't affect me that much. But I knew because I need to rest. So for me, afternoon, I went back to my room. I lie down, I rest. But actually, I meditate because that time I know how to do lying down meditation already. So after I rest, I recovered. Then I do a lot of contemplation, a lot of walking, I remember. I just walk around the Sepalohan, that two corridor, long corridor, the Sepalohan there. I just walk. Actually, that walking and bowing helped so much. Then the contemplation was beautiful. And that was the retreat, because I have enough rest. Then I know what to do. I didn't follow routine. I only follow the routine on the first 2 days, I remember. After that, I sleep, I rest. Then later on, because of my walking, bowing, and the mindfulness stabilized, then I went in to sit. I remember there was one morning I went in to sit. That's why I came to know. The sitting become very natural. The moment I went in, I sat, pop, I went into the silent mind already. Then I realized, how come like that one? Normally you have to start anapanasati, then get yourself into rhythm, then only you become peaceful. But very funny, you know. Then that whole of the retreat, after the first day, I like mindful on my own, and I don't want to talk. Then later on, because of the contemplation, then when I sat, it was so still. That was how the first cessation came. Just one moment. Then after that, the whole nature like merged with the entire thing. Then I can, if I want to perceive or know anything, very distant one also, I can perceive it. And the whole of the nature, the oneness was so clear. But then after that, very strange is, after that when I come out of it, fully mindful, then everything I look, I reflect, I contemplate, the Dhamma is there. Then later on I came back, I read those books. No Dhamma also I know. But got Dhamma on, immediately go in. And I understand the Mahayana teaching straight away. Because it get connected. That was the one I told you when I went up the bus. My mind was still so still. Like, there's little or any sense data that can affect my sixth sense door until I went on the bus. Then because I was sitting in front, then I saw the sense data coming in. Then you like inside the nature can know it's going to start all over again, the dependent origination and all that. Then with awareness, it start to understand. Then you see how it starts the movement again. Then after that cessation, how the consciousness come out again. Then how it activated the brain zone. Then how it activated the heart area. Then the Tan Tien. Then whole human being come back to life again. Like you get animated again. So all these things, the book never write on. So how to tell people, how to share with people. That's why because of that, for many years after that, I didn't do anything. Until the year 2004. That time was the year 1989, I remember. 1989. How many years already? 27 years. 27 years already. Oh, 8:10. We can start. So, let's see our name too. To light the candle. Sadhu, Silun and Michelle, see, they know how to choose the rare one, seldom here one. Okay, let us, stand, prepare ourselves for puja. Okay, We can start off with the tree. Ah, good. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you. You can visit that. Then we can commence our puja. Prepare ourselves, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the Buddha puja. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Suvākkhāto bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarpa dipena dipena tamadang sena diloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami namo nodang ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaya pujani yang tang puja bacan namo temang vanna ganda guno petang etang kesuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi bedang kusumena nena punena matena ceho tumokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati binasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Okay, now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the one free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Tripaja. Buddhang pachayami. Dhammang pachayami. Sanghang pachayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Tonight we can have longer time to meditate. Eh? Okay, I give you 30 minutes. Okay, for those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed. And for the rest, maybe we can develop the appropriate training of mind if you still need to train. Then for those who are still new, maybe you should do the mind sweeping method to stabilize your heedless thinking, to decondition them. Then you combine with metta. And this is very useful. When you do the mind sweeping method, your mind will become more quiet because it will not think, it just feel relaxed. Then you sweep. Then later on, you learn how to relax your entire body and mind, starting with the facial muscle. Visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you relax. Then you feel yourself in a very good nature. Then you combine metta, wishing your own well-being. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy, free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May its mind state still, be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then after that, you can radiate this same metta to your loved ones. Then to all beings within this vicinity, known and unseen and unseen. Then all beings throughout the entire existence. By then, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then that mind which is more quiet, more peaceful and more silent can meditate. Then you need to stabilize that silence or that mindfulness that you have developed. When you are without thought, naturally you are already aware. That's why sati will be there. The moment you are not thinking, not lost in thought, not heedless, the awareness is already there. You already silent, means aware within. Awareness is actually attentiveness. When you're attentive without thought, you just attentively allow your senses to be naturally alert. Then there is awareness already. Then you can relax into it, maintain the silence. Then initially, because you have not developed the ability to stabilize the silence, you need an object of meditation to anchor it. You don't have any, you can use your breathing. The Buddha recommended anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. So you just silence everything and maintain awareness or attention at the nostril in front of your breathing. Then silence your mind, relax body and mind, then just feel. When you can detect your breathing, then you follow the instruction of what the Buddha has recommended. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Aware means the mind and the breath move as one, in harmony, in perfect synchrony. Initially, if you are new, this anapanasati may not arise. Within split second, you realize the mind wanders off, get lost in the thinking process. You cannot maintain attention, but it's okay. Always remember, you are here to train this mind. So every time the mind wanders off, bring it back to the breathing, then start all over again. Then maintain attentiveness, awareness. Then when you can detect the breath, move one in harmony with the breath. Then breathing in, away, breathing out, away. Continue to train. Not long, this sati will stabilize. Then the mindfulness of the in and out breath will become more and more prominent, more and more dominant. Then you can actually do it. And when anapanasati comes on stream, you will be able to maintain that mindfulness that can transform your mind state into a very, very calm and peaceful mind state, which the Buddha called piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, spiritual rapture that arises when you are just mindful without thought. Then continue to develop this mindfulness until you become very stable. And always remember to relax into it. Don't go into deep absorption. Because the tendency of anapanasati is to go into absorption. And the mind can become very calm, very peaceful. Initially, if you want to experience them, it's okay. But finally, you must always remember you are here to train your mind in sati. Means to develop mindfulness, not to develop the calmness, not to develop the what they call absorption or one-pointedness and other things. But should it come naturally, then you can experience it. You can just do it and find out for yourself. Then later on, as you become skillful, you remember to relax into all this mind state that arise, whether it is calmness, stillness, absorption or whatever, just relax into it and allow the mind to maintain mindfulness. Then not long, this stability of mindfulness will become more and more pronounced. Then from piti, it will transform into a more refined state which we call sukha. Sukha is a type of spiritual blissfulness. The mind becomes very blissful because it's not only calm, peaceful, it becomes very blissful. Means it has reached a level of refinement that can bring about the very, very blissfulness within your own mind state. And this is what meditation is all about. It can arise the byproduct of meditation. which is piti and sukha. Then you continue to relax and silent, you will lead to pasati, the silent mind, the stillness of mind, the tranquility of mind. Yeah. The mind becomes so quiet, so still, so tranquil, yeah, that it doesn't move. Yeah. That is pasati. Yeah. Then when you hit that point, you just silent everything and don't do anything, just silent and stay there. Mm. Your object of meditation by now will become very subtle, very quiet, like no movement at all. But it's okay, just stay there. Maintain that silence. Then not long, this mind will enter sati and develop the more refined level of mindfulness for you to have the ability to detect even the very, very subtle breathing within your breathing. The breathing can become very subtle, but when there is mindfulness very refined, even the subtle breathing you can pick it up. That's why the mind can stay quiet, peaceful, silent, and maintain its awareness there. Then, over a period of time of training, this pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, will become very stable. Then by then, your mind is already in sati. Then you realize, wherever you place this mind, it is very different. It can become very sensitive. It can feel many, many things. Whatever vibration within your form, your physical body, you can detect them. That's why when you move your attention to your chest area, your heart area, you can detect the vibration within. You can detect any vibration or even your own heartbeat. You just silence everything and stay there. Then this stability, after a while, will make you very different. You will develop what they call samadhi. Samadhi. Then this mind become like very calm, very quiet, but it's a free mind, very still. Then it is collected and unwavering. Then you just silence everything and allow the mind to be. Then it will understand. That mind will understand. The mind can meditate. Then all of the Buddha's essential Dhamma that he has taught us, you can witness them arising and passing away within your own form and mind. So initially it's just this training. Then later on, as you progress, as your mindfulness become very, very stable, then you have to actually allow this stability to bring forth the understanding so that you can reflect and contemplate on what happened when you come out of that meditation. Then you have to maintain this mind state that you have developed and trained so that in the midst of life, your daily life, you can have this stability of mindfulness and awareness within. The tranquility, the stillness, the pasati, to develop the meditation in the midst of life, and that is the real satipatthana, the four foundation of mindfulness. Okay, I will now let you meditate on your own. I will ring the bell after about 15 to 20 minutes. want to sit still, want to meditate, you can continue. For those open up slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now turn to page 6. We will continue with the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and releases Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta
Chakavalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhamman Munirajasa Sunantu Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Panayiko Pachatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pukala Esa Bhagavato Savakasangho Ahuneyo, Ahuneyo, Dakeneyo, Anjali Karaneyo, anuttaro punyaketang lokasati. Okay, let us pray or rejoice. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Budang pujemi, damang pujemi, sanghang pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax body and mind, yeah? And maintain some form of attention or attentiveness. Yeah? Okay. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is as usual, eh? Meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you have, Q&A. You just have to put up your hand, then we pass you the mic. Okay, now we open it up to all. Anybody who wants to report meditation or just ask whatever related question you can. Anybody? can. You can also ask. Yeah, pass the mic to our sister, Engbi. Yeah. And you can ask. What we need is condition to share the Dhamma.
It's about, if let's say I want to send metta.
Is it on already? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, good. You want to send metta?
If I want to send metta, actually I just say it up through. Just say out through Sing Li Mian Jiang.
Sing Li Mian. You can use Mandarin, no problem. I can translate afterwards.
Yung Sing. Sing Li Mian Jiang. Or I have to say something before, then only I start to say I want to share metta to who.
Okay, very good. Okay, so your question is related to loving kindness, metta. You have to off it. It's not off. Push it to the other side. Thank you. Yeah. Otherwise, there will be distortion in the recording. There are three levels of metta radiation when you understand. Initially, it's just like we call it parroting. You know what is parroting? The parrot, when you teach the parrot something, they will repeat after you. Ni hao, ni hao, they will repeat ni hao. Means he only learned to memory, parroting. So parroting is actually the first very elementary level of metta. But that metta is not effective because you don't reside with feeling and understanding. So when you just like verbalize it, may you be well and happy, or may I be well and happy, there is no feeling, anasana. There is no metta force, or there is no mind involved with the understanding. It is just verbalizing, means parroting. You just say it and repeat the word where you think that is metta. So most people have to start from somewhere. So it's just like in life. When you don't really mean it, then you will just say, sorry lah. Yeah, you don't really mean it. You just want to say sorry. But when you really mean it, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. Then you feel it, understand? You feel it. Yeah. Then, like when you read the metta, that's why the metta sutta, metta bhavana sutta, you go through. The Buddha actually got teach in the sutta. You go back and read it up. I remember it start off by arousing this metta. That this metta is a loving kindness that arises through deep understanding from the heart. So first of all, you need to understand what is metta. What is love? Love actually to the Buddha is, it got no opposite. So the very initial analogy that the Buddha gave is, it's just like a mother when you give birth to a child. Because the mother loves the child. This is true sincerity. They are very sincere. But even within that sincerity, which is very near to metta, they can only do that because they are child, understand? So there is attachment behind. But this attachment is very powerful because they believe it's their child. They can love and sacrifice for their child. So they will go all out to protect this child. So the Buddha said, you should recall to mind, invoke this metta, just like a mother would sacrifice himself for the well-being of the child. Then they are willing to protect and give all they have for the happiness and well-being of the child. So when you radiate metta with that understanding, you will really do it with your understanding, and the feeling is very strong. So from your heart, you conjure this metta up. Metta is love, boundless love. There is no opposite. Just like a mother, who can sacrifice to love for their own child. They will go all out to protect them, give them love, care for them, provide for them, and radiate this well-being towards them. Then metta also has a lot of positive effect. It's just love. And this love will radiate well-being and goodness to people. That's why we start off by radiating love and metta to ourselves. If you yourself don't have metta, the Buddha said, you cannot radiate metta. You must have metta, then only you can radiate metta. And first of all, you must understand what is metta. Metta is love, well-being, goodness, kindness, gentleness. So this is metta. That's why you can invoke all this until your mind is full of this metta force. You just want to radiate it to your own being. Then after that, radiate to all beings. Until you are all flow with metta. And then only you can start to radiate. Then you can start with your own self. May I, this body and mind of mine, means the five aggregate of form and mind, the first aspect as a human being, be well and happy. You feel it deep inside. That this well-being and happiness is the metta force that you radiate to this body and mind. That's why when you do that, it's the second level of metta, where you radiate with feeling, with understanding. You really mean it. So this metta will go in, it will assimilate in. Then when you recite, may I, this body and mind, you feel the body and mind with your mind. Be well and happy. Well and happy means the well-being and happiness really went into this body and mind. Then it's like every cell within your body has this well-being and happiness. So when the cell has this well-being and happiness, it will have very positive energy. Then it will boost your immune system. Then the good vibration, the good metta energy will bring forth a very, very beautiful mind state. So this well-being and happiness will actually bring forth a very positive metta energy that can make yourself very healthy. Because there is joy. It's just like when you are happy, when you have a lot of happiness, a lot of joy, you feel very good. Your body is very good. Your metta force is very good. Your vibration is very positive. As opposed to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. You can feel the big difference, isn't it? That's why when you have metta, you just radiate well-being. Then when you can do this, then you are ready to radiate this metta out to somebody whom you have affinity with, or your loved one, like your parents, your brothers, your sister, your good friend, your grandparent, or even your neighbors, colleague, and other things. Then when you want to radiate to them, first initially you use thought energy. You visualize them. Thought energy is a type of karmic because it involves mental intention. You have pure mental intention to share these merits and radiate this metta to your loved one. Then you can recite, may my mother and father or my parents, then you visualize them, be well and happy, well and happy. Then may they too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. Then may they all too be free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. And then you radiate. So when you can radiate with feeling, with true sincere emotion, positive emotion, that love, that metta will take off in a different direction. This is the second level. Then when you stabilize this until the embodiment of metta is in you, everything you see with metta. Understand? Yeah. Every moment of experience, there is love, there is metta. So whatever you do in life, when you see something, when you have metta, metta will be there. Then there is joy, there is happiness. Then you don't allow the habitual tendency of negativity. Because most living beings, because you are so conditioned, you have this habitual tendency to perceive people whom you don't like with negativity. Then people whom you don't like, your enemy or your colleague that are not so friendly to you, and you have developed a negative perception of them, then all this can actually bring about the lack of love in you. And this one is very difficult to reverse. But when you have a lot of metta, that's why in whatever you see with the eye of love. Means there is metta in everything that you come to perceive. Then when there is metta in everything that you come to perceive, your mind becomes different. Then this metta becomes so strong. I remember during the early day, whenever I did a lot of metta during the early day, I think during the university years, when I was training myself, developing the meditation. Then even after I graduated, I also did a lot of metta. And later on, my metta became very strong, very powerful. Then I realized, one day, very strange, from the heart here, when I radiate this metta, there is this very soothing type of metta energy flowing out. And during that time, the non-human, the animal, they can feel it one. Then when I send this one out, it is so powerful, so potent, but I tested it later on. But before that, I should actually add in something. There's one part I remember I learned from my teacher, Ajayantra. He said, we recall to mind the great loving kindness and great compassion of Lord Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. And when he invoked that, my mind became very powerful, very different. So that type of metta I draw in. He said, invoke to mind. Then we absorb into our nature all of the great loving kindness, great compassion and wisdom of Lord Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Then that time it went in very strong. Then whatever it do, there is love, there is metta. Then when I walk around, every being I saw, known and unknown, that metta keep on radiating on. Even throughout the day, in my daily life, it is not that I chant, understand? No, it's silent inside, it radiates. All beings be well and everything. Then when I see something dead on the ground or on the floor, straight away, may the blessing of the Triple Gem be with them immediately after their immediate death or separation of form and mind. Yeah. So I will invoke the blessing of the Triple Gem. May the blessing of the Triple Gem with them after their immediate passing away from this life. And may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy in whatever birth they may take. Then straight away after that, may all beings within the entire existence, known and unknown, seen and unseen, be well and happy. Well. And when I reach office, I will meditate, I will radiate metta to all beings within the vicinity. Then that time is so strong, that's why after that, this metta come out by itself. Then I experience many of this happening during those times. One most vivid one was when I was in Australia. I remember it was the year 1992. I was in Melbourne alone with my second last teacher. We stayed nearby. Then every morning we go there very early. Then we will meditate on our own, contemplate on our own. Then I like to come out to the open because the suburb there got a lot of green. There's a field. The air very fresh because the weather there very conducive, but very cold. Very cold. So I was having this warm clothing. But my metta was so strong that I just radiate. Then I know there are beings within the vicinity, especially devas, within the environment, the trees and all that. I keep on radiating. Then there was this, I think, Australian, a young guy, I think, 20 to 30 years old. He was taking his dog for a walk, early morning walk. It was hell or a huge dog, I think it's a very fierce dog. I don't know what they call it, a breed, very big one. Yeah, when it came, it was almost at my nose level, the dog. Yeah. It was very big, the dog. There was radiating metta. I sensed that dog. I saw from far. Then I radiate metta to that dog. And you know what happened? That dog is about 200 meters away. That dog, you can see how he's just like that run off. He didn't even like struggle or what. He like there is a lot of joy. He felt the metta. Then he just run off. And the owner panicked. He thought his dog is going to attack me. Then as he ran towards me at that dog, I saw the fur that I can feel. Then I saw the fur, everything, like you know, your hair stand on end, you know that type of. Then I saw the tail wagging, anything. Then I know this dog received the metta. Then he came. Then the owner chased after the dog. Then when it came, I touched the head. Well, the owner panicked. He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I thought my dog was going to attack you." I said, "Don't worry, good dog." Good dog. Yeah, I just stroked the head here. And he keep on wagging the tail, and you know the dog. You can feel that dog got a lot of joy, a lot of metta. Then he asked me, he said, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" I said, "It's okay, you got a good dog." Then after that, he wants to go on. He pulled the dog refused to go. Then I say, "Don't worry, you wait." I stroke the dog, I say, "Okay, and now you go." Then he followed here. Then on the way back, about 20 or 25 minutes later, again that dog came. But this time the owner was not panicky already. He allowed the dog to come. And again the dog had so much joy. Then later on, he came and took the dog away. Again, he don't want to go. Then I talked to the dog. I said, "It's okay, and now you go." I rejoice. You have good parami. Even as a dog, you have very good parami. That's why metta can be very, very powerful. But you just do over that phase for you to understand. After you understand, then it's different. But this one, you really have to have the ability to invoke that metta out when you really understand. Then you feel it with the sincerity, the faith. That's why I knew how all this can be cultivated. But then you cannot be carrying this around all the time. Yes, for this nature is different. The moment it connects, it understands, it will go through all those cultivation that it has developed before in a very fast manner. It's like this nature just go through it very fast. It let you see on all this, let you see. That's why every phase is a different phase, part of cultivation. Then you will go back to the level you are before you actually came to this world. So that cultivation, the perfection, the form and mind that is connected, develop this understanding, will understand what. Then it will go back to the level it's supposed to have the understanding. And that phase is very fast. Then after that is again the continuation of the perfection and the cultivation. But different people are different because your cultivation, your understanding, your nature, everyone is different. So when you come, you will develop the meditation and understanding accordingly. So this is what I want to maybe share with you all. Because over the years, there were not much opportunity for me to explain all this. Last time I just mentioned it briefly. But now we got most people can do it already, can have the understanding. That's why now I share in more detail and I explain how this nature did it during the early days. So metta has three levels. First level is like parroting, means repeating, because you don't have the understanding yet, the feeling. Then second level is through that understanding, that sincerity, that real metta, you radiate it out through that feeling. That feeling, which is the pure metta, is very, very beautiful. And that is the second phase. And that one also can become very, very beautiful. That one I did a lot during the early day. I can do until, I think this part last time I shared before. I remember I told you I tested it. Then there was somebody walk towards me. And I know that person is heedless, thinking, worried, got problem inside there, something they have to resolve. So actually, he will never pay attention to you already. Then I try, you know, I retake this metta. And you won't believe. He was a girl. He just lift her head up. And he look at me. And he just smile. Then of course I smile back. Then he felt funny, you know. Why he did that to somebody, he don't know. But I know. Then I thought maybe in front come easy to do. Then I purposely follow one who walk in front of me. Then I read it, this metta. You know what happened? He turned around. He looked at me, smile. A lot of these things you can actually experience it if you really develop the metta. At that time, my metta was very powerful. The animal, I can know one, no? They like me one. Then you can actually feel it, huh? Because like that vibration, that metta is with everything that is around you. Even the plant, they acknowledge you. There is this type of joy inside that. You can feel them. It's just like when you are with somebody. Then if that person has very good character and all those things, very sincere and talk to you very nice, you can feel him or her, the warmness, the sincerity and all those things. Then there was another monk, very good monk, Ajahn Gandha. Oh, I tell you, that one, his metta is really, really powerful. He used his hand like that, like a knife like that. He put underneath, when he cross-legged and meditated, he put underneath. You know. Then when he signed the metta, I tell you, I was paying respect to him. Oh, the whole metta engulfed my entire body. Oh, I can feel it. Then I rejoice, then I send back. Then I sadhu him, I said, sadhu, sadhu. And he liked me because he also can feel me. So although I don't speak Thai, I know a few words. He always say chai di, chai sabai, sabai. And he's like a laughing Buddha, you know, always smile. Chai is mine, di is good mind. Chai sabai, sabai. Means good mind, comfortable mind, happy mind. So this is what metta is all about. It can be developed. And the third phase, of course, very few people can do that. You do until your nature has this metta. And when that metta energy come out, it's very soothing. Very, very soothing. I don't know how to use word to describe to you. And that one, when it come out from your nature, on the heart here, I tell you, all the unseen being, the non-human or what, the animal, they can feel one. Very powerful that time. But don't always cling and try to repeat it. For so many years, I have not been doing it. That's why you will pass through that phase. But you want to develop it until it become a part of you and an expert in that. I believe you can also. But the whole of meditation is not only about metta. Metta is, of course, part of the important mind state that you should develop. And always recall to mind the great loving kindness, great compassion, and great wisdom of all the Buddhas, the great Maha Bodhisattva, especially Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. You recall to mind, then you take in all the great loving kindness, great compassion, and great loving kindness and wisdom of Lord Buddha. Then I remember at that time, Ajayantra, he always teach this metta. His metta is very powerful. He always say, nature has a lot of great loving kindness towards mankind. Nature just give, give and give. Nature never take. And as living beings, we are so blessed with great loving kindness of nature. The air we breathe, he always tell us, is from nature. The water that sustains your life is from nature. The sunshine that produces all the energy is also from nature. That's why you have these plants. They need the sunshine, the photosynthesis. Then they bear fruits. Then they create weather and other things. Then they provide heat for our planet. Then they also now, if you have the technology, you can tap solar energy. Then you can tap all the wind energy. Then you can actually purify water. Then help our planet to rejuvenate. That's why now recycling everything is very important. Otherwise, the planet will die. Because human being, we pollute the planet in so many unhealthy ways until humanity has to understand that man and nature, you are actually one. If you destroy nature, nature will destroy you because you get your sustenance from nature. So technology has produced a lot of plastic waste, rubber waste, tire, all those things. Yeah, then newsprint, newspaper, all those things. Especially nowadays, plastic. So that's why the human world has become more and more sensitive to all this pollution. Then global warming and all those things. Then how the ozone layer get destroyed when you use certain type of last time there's a type of aircon that we use. There is something inside the aircon, the chemical actually can deplete the ozone layer and can cause a lot of. The ozone layer actually protect our atmosphere, reduce the radiation from making it intense. Otherwise, you can have skin cancer. That's why in Australia, there's a hole up there, it seems. That's why they are more susceptible to that type of disease, skin cancer and other things. So love and metta, when you do it, when you reflect and contemplate deep into life, you will understand a lot of things. That's why my teacher like to look at nature. He said, nature is our best teacher. You can learn so much thing from nature. The generosity of nature, the great loving kindness of nature, the simplicity of nature, the great patience of nature. Everything is nature. Nature just give and give. They accord and they flow. Even the plant, when the condition is very harsh, what do? They shed their leaves during autumn to bud again when the weather are conducive in spring. They are not like human beings. Rain also complain, no rain also complain. Too hot, too cold. Because we have a mind that is very selfish, very cunning. So without wisdom, this egoic mind becomes selfish. And through selfishness, it becomes very demanding. You want things your way. Which is not nature's way. So you fail to have the great patience of nature. Means you cannot accord and flow. Everything also, you want it your way. And you are so inconsiderate. You actually throw back to nature a lot of negativity. Do you know when you don't cultivate the Dhamma, what did you do to pollute the world? Your thought consciousness, understand? You create the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion every moment, every instant. That's why the heedless are as if they not only cause their own suffering, they pollute the world. They pollute the world with so much negativity of consciousness. Then our body discharge a lot of what they call byproduct, or we call it pollutant. So lucky we have science and technology who understand how to treat them. So as civil engineer, we know, we study public health engineering. So all your sewer, your whatever urine, your pollutant, your discharge from your wastewater, they have this public health engineering that channel all this, and they through what they call various type of aerobic and anaerobic. What do they call that right there? I forgot it. Too long didn't get involved with this type of thing. We call it the sewerage system, you know. Last time we recruit one. Last time is oxidation pond. We just allow it to oxidize, then recover. That process is very slow. Then later on, they got this oxidation dish. Then they know certain type of organism. You introduce them in, they actually cause them to convert them. Then there's a lot of this, they call it the public health engineering type of treatment, sewage treatment plant, where they treat all this. Then the pollution that come from the abuse of nature, industry and all those things, they got a lot of this chemical pollution, carbon monoxide. That's why you got the DOE, Department of Engineering. They try to put in the regulatory part to actually mitigate. But business people, human beings, most of them are selfish, money-minded. So they try to circumvent, then they just discharge. That's why, like recently, I think Selangor, they have problem with the upstream. They got this pollution into the waterway and all those things. Because as a civil engineer, actually I did all this. Last time I was in waterworks. That's why I know how important catchment are. How important all this catchment are not polluted by human beings. Then they talk about how to actually clean up the river. You look at our river, not only dirty, smelly, so polluted, but everything also, they just dump inside. And the amount of pollutant, I tell you, when we took sample, I tell you, there's hardly any clean water left. Without treatment, really you cannot drink one. There is so much pollution, and it's really a sad case. That's why this nature feel it, and I don't know why. Maybe this profession is a good profession. It is involved with so much sector of humanity's life, from highway to building, to water supply, sewerage, then also a lot of what they call civil engineering related, like irrigation. Irrigation is also a very major field. Then you build dams. If you are not careful, this dam, when it fails, it can be very disruptive. That's why you look at China. They got this hydro, Changjiang, Sanxia, they call the three gorges. Wow, I tell you, the engineering is really fantastic. And because I got astro, I like to see all this very, very major engineering projects. And the way they do it, I tell you, they really have the understanding, technology, and experience. Then they do bigger and bigger projects. So now we have the comfort of civilization. In a way, don't be despair, because you are living in the era of a golden age. You know what is a golden age, huh? The last 20, 30 years, I tell you. Your parents may not have that type of life. Your grandparents may not have that. You just imagine the last 20, 30 years, we progressed so fast, no? If you have the means, the money or whatever, you can get to live that type of beautiful life. You can really have all this, what they call civilizations, evolution, type of transformation that allow us to have this golden age. Last time we cannot just travel so fast. Then now the handphone is so powerful, WhatsApp, everything, and it revolutionized so many things. You can now just afford a simple tour. You have some money. You can go Europe. You can travel. And even without traveling, you can view it in the video or sometimes TV series. I like to actually watch TV because it gave me a lot of understanding and information. But don't make this mistake. Don't go and quote Brother Abraham, say he also watch a lot of TV. You go back. When you are not ready, you watch TV, I tell you, you get into trouble. You know Xianhua called TV what? He labeled the TV as more. The biggest mara that will make you heedless and all those things. It's very true if you don't have the heedfulness and the understanding. But like I always share with you all, don't blame technology, understand? No, it's nothing to do with technology. It's just like money. Don't blame money. Money is not the source of all evil. Money is just money. The user of money is very important. So the user of technology is very important. You cannot blame technology. That's why I say you have to train yourself, train your mind, develop your wisdom. Then everything can be your teacher. Then when we live in the golden age, I told you, golden age means what? You can have the condition to live the perfect life, the very, very blessed type of life. But you must have the means, understand? Have the means means what? Like the Buddha teach, the three phases of Dhamma. First, Parihati. You must learn his teaching, understand his teaching. Then put it into cultivation until you awaken, no? You realize the teaching. Then you have the embodiment of the understanding and the wisdom. And then the third phase, which is Pativeda, you got to reap the fruit of your hard work, your cultivation. Then you got to live the noble life of an enlightened being. And then that time, life become very meaningful, beautiful. You can really, really appreciate life and live life to the fullest. That's what I did for the past 20 years. That's why it's so beautiful, so meaningful. Every moment is so beautiful. Then you start to understand many, many things, which is part of nature. And the evolution is so beautiful. I keep on seeing all this coming out. Then we keep on thanking our good nature. Just like we say, you should count your blessing, your own blessing, for having the opportunity to come to this world in this golden age. But not everybody can understand all this and have the condition to live all these happy moments, happy life, and get to appreciate this civilization's evolution and all those things. In fact, a lot are still suffering, fighting, creating a lot of conflict in this world. Then some are very, really stressed out, chasing after wealth, chasing after all this reputation and whatever. So when you crave and chase, you become heedless. Then when you lack understanding, you will not have the understanding to live life because you can't even understand what is life, the meaning of life, the purpose of life, and the secret of life. So without that, that's why the first phase of Dhamma, Pariyatti and Patipatti is very important. Pariyatti is the learning of the teaching, the doctrine, the Dhamma. When you learn, you understand, then you put it into practice, cultivation, then you develop the wisdom, and then you know how to live. And then the third phase is the friction of it. The friction of it. Then you can really be a blessing to all and get to experience all these beautiful moments within life. Then that form and mind become very clear to you. This is a vehicle and tool for you to come, and you use it beautifully with understanding. Then there is no more suffering, no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety. Like this body, you don't have to worry about getting old, getting sick and dying. You have nothing to do with you, element. But it is part of you because karmically conditional. That's why when the Buddha mentioned you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma, that refers to the form and mind, the human being, the five aggregate of form and mind. And that one has to abide by the law of karma. That one is within the existential world, subject to the nature's law of karma. And that one, you have to take care of karma. That's why that one has to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. But when that one develops the understanding, cultivate and connect to the nature, and develop the wisdom, when the form and mind is connected to the wisdom, that form and mind, also called human being, our segmented form and mind, no longer deluded. And then you can say it's enlightened, but it's not you, because it's not a permanent unchanging entity. It's a condition arising, karmically conditioned form and mind. Then you will know how to use it, where it's just a vehicle and a tool for you to come. Then the using of it is what you need to develop the understanding. Then you become beautiful. Then there is no more suffering, no more problem. You just live. And you will come to understand finally no reality. Just mighty nature rolling by. Everything is just the way it is. Suchness, true suchness. Then you will come to understand he know you, he know me, form and mind, form and mind. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising. But because of this mundane mind, without wisdom, it gets itself entangled. And through delusion, it grabs, it clings, it holds. That's why everything becomes real. Then when things don't go your way, you develop suffering, affliction. Then the personality creates the egoic mind that brings forth the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. That's why there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety, there is sorrow, there is lamentation, there is attachment. There is fear, anxiety, insecurity. And all these are psychological suffering, mental suffering. Then because you have a physical form with a consciousness trapped inside, your physical suffering, which, as the Buddha described, old age, sickness and death, as you go through this phase, with birth comes old age, sickness and death. That's why the whole mess of suffering arises. Then the egoic mind created the rest. It's just a phenomenal world of consciousness, not so real, not what you think. And he know you, he know he. And what is consciousness? How real can it be? It's just within the moment, split second, dead and gone, no more. But we hold on and create the past and the future. Then we worry about the future. We attach to the past, our scars of memory. Then we created our own mental projection of fear, worry, anxiety, social anxiety. Then you never leave. You're never with the moment. The form of mind never really with the moment to to live life. It's only thinking, 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 and heedlessly worrying about life, planning, creating your own fear, your own anxiety, your own sorrow, lamentation. So this is what the teaching is all about. Buddha Dhamma is all about. As a Buddhist, you should actually thank the Buddha for giving you this teaching. That's why as a Buddhist, I realize you are so blessed because you can have this teaching. But the sad thing is, very few Buddhists understand his teaching. That's why they fail to understand life. If you have understood his teaching, I tell you, that is the best gift that nature has given you. And even the Buddhas, the great Bodhisattva, when they come, they just share this Dhamma with you. And this is the greatest gift of all. You can understand this, it's given free. You will understand life. Then you will have the ability to live life to the fullest and to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. Then life takes a turn, becomes so beautiful, so meaningful. Then every moment of life is so immensely beautiful, meaningful. Then you can look at civilization, how it evolved, how it has become so beautiful. The reason why I call it the Golden Age is because there's a lot of things that you can have under this civilization. Things that we never thought of, never dreamed of. I ask you a very simple question. Even 30 years ago, if I ask you, what do you think the world will become? I tell you, you'll never imagine you can come to this stage of civilization. And from now onward, civilization is going to progress a lot more faster. Of course, information also coming in at a much faster pace. And living beings are actually adapting to all this evolution. But they are all for the better. Because if I were to look back, during the early years when I was born, 50s, then that first 6 years, 54 to 60, world was still very backward, very primitive. We live in a small village. Initially it was Alastair nearby there, then we went to Butterworth and came back. It was a simple attap house. Then one big family but with a very small house. Then water is from the well. No electricity, candlelight house. Then later on only electricity come. When electricity come, light bulb also very primitive. I remember my father want to save on the electricity, go and buy the 5-watt one. So dim. Then later on, very lucky, you know, after I went to school, they got this fluorescent tube already. Oh, then my father said, oh, to study, I buy fluorescent tube, the 40-watt one. That's how first time I saw my house like this, bright. Then I can study. Then I saw how civilization actually from very simple, primitive, slowly evolved. But we were so lucky, you know, that even at that time, our education system, because of the British, is very good, you know. Form 4, Form 5, the science and maths that we study, I tell you, is pretty amazing. Because actually, that is the fundamental behind all the later on, all from there is spin off. During that time, we already got physics, chemistry, organic chemistry. Then our geography was so advanced at that time. Then later on, when I went to Form 6, then the uni, then I learned more things. Then when I came out to work, I learned even more things. That's why my whole phase of my life, from birth until now, is really amazing. I really love them all. It's so amazing. It's like you are so blessed, like so lucky, but nothing to do with luck, I can tell you. It's all from your past, your karma, your inheritance. It cannot be like that. Perfect. Actually, from that small town, that slum, hardly even anybody can pass. Initially, to find somebody who passed standard 6 was already difficult at that time. Well, my elder brother was 6 years older than me. Cannot, hardly. Then later on, there are some who went to Form 1. Then to pass LCE, that time we call it LCE, it's a very rare gem already. Understand? The whole town will be talking about it if somebody passed LCE. Then later on, when it comes to Form 5, very few people actually can make it to Form 5. Then, very funny, very funny. I got 9 brothers and sisters. But somehow, from that slum, this nature just came out. And you ask me how, I also don't know. But everything like set in place for you. That's why it's not my chance. Then later on when I met Jiwei, you remember the Perth one? Clan people know him, Jiwei. Xia Jiwei. He's a good friend of Brother Tay. Oh, your form of bond, no wonder he treat you so well. He sponsored part of his trip to Perth. Very nice, very generous guy. And later on when I came to know who he was, I really got a shock. Because he was so low profile. The first time I met him, I thought he was an elder. Where he was older than me, easily more than 14 years. How old is he? 70? 78. Means he's 16 years my senior. He is my MU first batch on engineering. I tell you, they are the real one, the gem. They're really very good. You cannot go, that time engineering. How many? I also don't know. I think just a handful of students only. The first batch of 4 or 5 only, I remember. And he was one of them. And I tell you, you have to be very bright to go in. And at that time, he already had that type of education. That's why. And he was such a simple person. I never talked about it. And I didn't know who he was until later somebody told me that he was a mechanical engineer. Then they told me he was from MU. Then I said, how old is he? Well, when he said his age, I know my super senior. Even during our time, it's already not easy to go in there, normally to go into UM to study engineering. And you must be really good. The cream from your state, your school, and all those things. Then when I later on get to know him more, then only I start to understand, especially when he invite me to Perth. That trip was very good, meant to be. Then I realized he did a lot of good things too. The nunnery, Dharmasala, that place, he started, helped to start, develop it. Then he also donated and contributed to many of the, I think, Buddhist society and way place in Perth, Australia. And he is such a simple person. But when you talk to him, as you age, that's why old age, we have to talk a little bit about old age. You will never understand because as he aged, he shared with us, he got hearing problem, hearing, and it's very common. But nowadays with technology, you don't worry, it can be rectified. hopefully it can be replaced like the eye, the lens. Now you can replace it. My father replaced it and he told me it was beautiful. He never believed. He said, like newborn, can see like when he was young. So beautiful. That's why our golden age, technology. Then he got, the other problem was the pollen thing. Just now, before was talking about it. That's why during this period, which is, I think, the pollen is, I think, flowering, a lot of pollen. Now in Australia is spring, that's why a lot of pollen. He said he must get out of Australia. He cannot stay there. He has to wait for another 2-3 months before he can go back. Then you look at him when we were there. The wife actually, what was the wife's name already? Peng. She actually loved Chi Wei so much. He was very scared when Chi Wei drive because he don't have good eyesight also. So at his age, but he still, certain stretch, he still drive and came and pick us up because of his eyesight. So this is part of the first noble truth reality. We every time talk about birth, old age, sickness and death. We focus more on death, sickness. But getting old is something that we should actually develop the understanding early. You need to cope with old age. Otherwise, you suffer. Without Dhamma, you already suffer. That is a reality. But the other thing that I want you to understand is how to mitigate this getting old. So that even with the understanding, you can have much, much better life during old age. Because if you don't take care, I tell you. Don't take for granted. Not everybody got good karma, I tell you. And you can become miserable, I tell you. If you don't take care, if you have any of this, what they call, problem when you get old. Parkinson's disease is one, Then dementia, loss of memory and all those things. Then all the rheumatism, the phone supper, then here ache, there ache, spinal problem and all those things. Then like Chi Wei, the eyesight, the hearing, the nose, then some intestine, some heart. Your organ, your senses, they are starting to fail you. Then if you attach to this and recall through memory during their early years, your younger years, you were so different, so beautiful. Then if you compare, you will have suffering because you crave for the good old days. Then now, it's just like what they call ojang, they call worn out buloka, or what they call your car too old already, beyond economical repair. What you do? You're supposed to condemn, but you cannot condemn because this is the only car you have. So you have to use it. So if you have not serviced your car properly, take care of the car properly, what is going to happen is when you become an ojang with all the problem like Long Po, Tong Bai, Do, one of the Singapore girls, you are, he said when she arrived at Wan Halong, she was like a broken down car. Not only ojang, broken down, a lot of bike cannot work already. Must straighten the view, change the part and redo. So if you don't take care, this is what will happen. Take care means what? Through your own observation, through your own sensitivity and understanding, you observe your grandparents, your other colleagues, friends, and whatever, grandparent or uncle or auntie. That's how I always feel, and I like to find out. And people tell me a lot of things. Today I learned something new from Shulun. Thyroid. The first time I heard, thyroid. I heard before thyroid, but nobody mentioned to me what thyroid can do to your health and all those things. Then there are a lot more other related on. Actually, Parkinson can be very terrible. You know? I saw these people, not really that old, no? 60 plus, going towards 70. Then I got one TA, I remember, 50 years old. Because of Parkinson, he cannot even sign his check. No? Yeah? He cannot even write properly. But there are supplements where you can take and actually deal with it and cure. You remember you are old. You take neurobion. You know what is neurobion? Vitamin B, B12, B complex and all those things. Because I came to know because after I got the angel blessing in this guy, I also got family history, diabetic. So the doctor scared because of diabetic, my nerve will deteriorate and feel. Then every time they prick me, you know, last time when I go for test, he said, you feel anything? Yeah, I said, very sensitive. Oh, he said, you are still okay. But anyway, he said, I give you this neurobio. I've been taking that one. It's good, it's good. Then earlier on, I remember over years ago, before I took this neurobio, I can feel my hand actually start to have a little bit of the symptom. Because last time I sign anything or write anything, I got no problem. Then I realized at that time, near to 60, sometimes the signing stroke cannot come out. Then I had to slowly train again. Then I know already, got signed. Then after I took all this neurobio, then I realized the last 2 years, that thing gone, no more. Now I can sign like normal, write like normal, everything. That's why I realized my health improved. Then there are certain supplements that actually can help you to recover. But you don't simply take now because they are not cheap. But I was lucky because my wife government servant, so this one all from government hospital, IGN. So you have to request from the doctor. Then you talk to them nicely, they will give it to you. Otherwise, they say you buy outside because government got limited budget and all those things. But there are certain supplements like CQ10. Especially if you have a cholesterol problem, then you take statin or Crestor and other things, it will deplete your CQ10. And CQ10 is a very important hormone because it actually nourishes your muscle and other things. Your muscle will be affected. Yeah, I went through it, that's what I know. And this is the condition where my nature wants to share this with people so that you can be prepared for old age, so that you can have better, more conducive type of condition to go through old age. But this body is still a body, like it or not, it will deteriorate. But you can slow down the deterioration. It will benefit you, it will help you. But not everybody has the Dhamma. If you have the Dhamma, of course, you can endure and you can overcome all this. But still, you have the Dhamma and still have better condition, you will be a true blessing to all. Understand? That's why you have to have all this understanding. So CQ10, after I took, I realized my muscle recovered. Well, after I was on that statin or Crestor for about 2 years, I started to feel some of my muscle ache. Then when I took this CQ10, I recovered. So far, so good. Then later on, this other thing also very important, because from my brother-in-law, got colon cancer. Passed away many years back. Then my mother-in-law also got some of this colon complication. Then my sister told me, he said, colon cancer is very common. Do you know Chinese? 1 in 4 is a high probability. And colon cancer comes from constipation. You didn't take care when you eat a lot of those food that are not so conducive. Yeah? Then the worst is antibiotic. You know what the antibiotic do or not? Huh? When the doctor give you antibiotic, it kill everything. Even your good bacteria in your intestine also they kill. That's why you lose your ability to digest all this food. That's why you have to take probiotic. And probiotic is cheap, it's not expensive. And it's good to take. It prevents constipation, it regenerates the bacteria, the good bacteria. Then it will actually make your bowel movement very good. Then you will have less probability or chance of this type of what they call complication, they call colon cancer. So that you don't have to do the what they call a scope. What scope? Colon. Very difficult to pronounce. Colonscopy. Then the other one is put through your mouth. The whole thing go down all the way. So all this scope, they got actually, because of technology, they can see inside one. And a lot of people got polyps. You know what is polyp? The growth that is about to become cancer. They call polyps. So if you are not careful, you don't take care. So one day when you feel all this pain, complication, then somebody tell you, hey, you better go and check. You don't even know what to check. You go and see the specialist, then the specialist will ask you, have you done the don't know what scopy? Then you ask the doctor, what is that? Or means the doctor will know you sure have something very bad. Then they will put the scope in. Then if it's early stage, treatable, then you are still okay. They will treat you. But if it's advanced stage, can be quite bad. I was told we got one classmate, I think still in Singapore, mechanical engineer, Richard. He got colon cancer, stage 3. Very skinny, I was told. Somebody went and see him. I think Al Kachin went and see. They were very good friends. He's from Johor. He is my roommate's hometown friend, To Chun Ho. They are Johorian. So all this we learn, understand? So when we have the understanding, we should share. Then you try to mitigate. Don't take things for granted. Sometimes you have to spend money, you have to spend. No choice. Like recently, my elder brother, he got an elder son. He's only 42 years old. But he got very good karma, I tell you. He used to drive from Johor back to Penang or Alastair, where he do the battery business, my elder brother manufactured. So recently, what happened was, this one is very good experience. You all can learn a lot from it. He normally drive all the way straight back from Johor. He stop, PJ, have his dinner. Then he will drive back to Penang, near to maybe 10 something at night. That trip, when he came down to PJ, he used to stay in Puchong. Then he went to Puchong, he has his dinner. Then, before he decided to drive back, he got a this what they call Chinese, they call the swordsman's wuxia xiaosuo. He go to that bookshop to borrow this style of book. He liked to read the swordsmanship one. So he went up there. He was trying to look for a certain book. Then he asked the owner to gather it for him. Then he was reading one of the wuxia xiaosuo book. Then you know what happened? All of a sudden he developed complication. He started to feel headache. Then he starts to vomit. Then become unstable. Well, luckily this owner, he knew my elder brother's son. He asked him, what happened? He said, very painful, I cannot control, I don't know what happened. Then he was also overweight. I tell you, you won't believe. You know how heavy he is? 110 kg. Double the weight of some of you. 110 kg is really overweight. Then he got this. So luckily, they sent him to, because this gag complication, they sent him to the Columbia Hospital. This Columbia Hospital, they got a lot of chain. But normally, they don't have good specialists or experienced specialists because they are new. But you don't worry. First, you go in first. You know what happened when they went in? They treat him wrongly, They thought stroke. So they gave him the blood thinning, plavix and all those things. Then didn't recover. Then they knew something wrong. They put through CT scan. They scared brain got something. Then after that, they are very good. They know which are the good surgeon or neurologist who can understand this reading. We are in the Columbia Hospital, nobody can understand. They cannot diagnose. So they send it to Sunway. Sunway got one very experienced one, 28 years in UK. Then they send to HUKM and a few other. Out of those so many, only two responded. The HUKM one responded but not confident. He said, if you really got problem, nowhere to go, you send. You come, we can look at it. But the Sunway one, that professor was very good. I don't know whether it's a professor or what, I forgot. That doctor was very good, that specialist. He straight away knew what happened. And he replied to Columbia, he said, you tell the client, if they want, they can come over, then he can treat him. Then my brother don't know, but he don't have much education. He actually after standard 6, draw out already. Then my sister-in-law also after form 5, also draw. Then luckily my sister, who was a staff nurse, then did his graduate nursing and master and PhD. So she accompanied them there. Wow, that professor explained. I didn't know our brain also got certain type of what they call liquid. I don't know. It's don't know whether it's discharge. It's a type of discharge. Then there's a channel where it's supposed to drain. That channel was blocked. That's why it developed complication. And this professor very good, is it? From the CT scan, is it? We have to operate two sides, is it? Because they use plavix, he cannot operate direct up there to relieve it because he's got bleeding, excessive bleeding. So we need to wait for 1 or 2 days for it to settle down. So he said, never mind, I will puncture here first. Try not to touch the nerve. So relieve the pain and all those things so that he can have temporary relief. Then after that, explain to my sister. When my sister explained to my brother, then they straight away signed the paper because he is very confident and they discuss with me also. Then I say, need to do. Well, luckily, that son of his, he actually bought insurance from one of his good friends. His good friend, I don't know why, last year, go and increase his insurance, no? To 1 million, no? Maximum 200k withdrawal for 5 years. Then after he saw the insurance bill, he scolded his friend, no? Why you buy until so expensive? Then he said, no, I want to reduce. Then he kena this case, no? Luckily, he got the insurance, no? I tell you, he was inside there for, don't know, 3 weeks or what. The bill already hit 120-something thousand. Then, 3-4 days more to go before discharge. Then this Monday only discharge. So what I'm trying to share with you is, nowadays technology is very good. This type of experienced specialists and doctor, they are very good. They can actually, through the CT scanner, tell you what happened. And my sister discussed him, and he was so clear. You know. Then he said, the danger of this operation at the back here where the drainage got blocked is, you can lose memory, you can become blind with the optic nerve, everything also there. Then there is a lot of other possibilities, he said. But I cannot guarantee you, I try my best, that is the only thing I can do. And after the operation, he came out, the doctor said, you are very lucky, your son is very lucky. The operation was very successful. Then over the next few days or a week, actually he recovered his memory, everything. No? Got no loss of memory, no loss of eyesight, nothing. Except he got to learn to balance. Then when he was in the hospital, because of the drip, he lost 20 kg. So now he's 91 kg, still high. Then my brother was so happy. He said, this son also got do a lot of merits, a lot of donation and all those things. Then, of course, my elder brother also got a lot of good part of me because every time I go back to Star, he take care of me. I stay at his place. Then he take me for meals and all those things. Then he's very close to me. Then because of that, I think he knew. He said the doctor keep on telling him, "Is it you are so lucky?" So next week, I think he's coming back for follow up. Yeah? So what I'm trying to tell you is, don't worry about the hospital. Go to the nearest one. Yeah? They will refer your case on. But talk to them. Understand not? You must talk to them and find out what is happening. Sometimes they put your case under discussion or no. Do you know or not? They got a forum or no, discussion. Then they won't make any decision until you push them. But you must get good specialists, good referral and all those things. So this is what I would like to share with you all tonight, about how to cope with getting old. All of us are not that young anymore. So when you understand this, it will help you. Then you can also use this information intelligently to help others. Because I realize a lot of people are very ignorant about disease and sickness and getting older. Because not until you encounter all this, but you must have mindfulness and understand. You just like ignore it because nothing to do with you, understand? Somebody else's problem, understand? Then you won't learn one. But you have this sensitivity and understanding. You learn from everything. That's why sometimes all those kayamita with problem, they come and see me, talk to me. Then when I inquire, they will share their problem, what they go through with me. Then because I have this understanding, then I can roughly understand why. What are the possibility of coming behind? So I even know what to do, and I can advise them. And most of them who have faith in what I tell them, and they do it with sincerity and faith, they recover. Almost all of them, they recover. Yeah. So this Dhamma is not something that we can get like from everywhere. Is actually very rare. That's why without the Buddha Sasana, especially this era, you cannot have this teaching. It's not easy to understand this teaching. To have it is one thing. To understand it is another thing. So you should count your blessing. And I really, really rejoice because without your past good karma and blessing, you cannot have all this condition to learn and this, listen to all this. Okay, with this, I think I will end. Then if you got any last question, you can ask. Can follow. Very good. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You can rejoice. We still got 5 more minutes. Anything that you want to add, anybody, or clarify? Otherwise, we can end. So did you all learn something today? Good. So at least you learn about metta. Then you learn about getting old. Because it strikes me so vividly is because all along since 1989, I was trying to understand this part of getting old. Why did the Buddha say old age is part of suffering, is one of the first noble truth reality that can bring forth a lot of suffering. So I thought, getting old is very normal. I saw my grandmother also pass away very peacefully, just one day only. And she know when she's going to die. She did meditate. She tell my mother, she get ready. Everything she get ready, you know. Then he told my mother, you know, 90 days from now, I will pass away. And really 90 days, she passed away. And before she passed away, very funny, she kept her breath, the last breath, until he see me, you know. I got 9 brothers and sisters. He tell my mother what, he said, ask your second son to come back and see me. Then that day, I remember I was in Form 6, 1974. I came from school. Then when I reached the shop, my elder brother's shop, he told me, Mom was looking for you. Oh, I said, okay, I will go back. Then I cycle back. Then when I reached home, it was about 1:30 p.m. My mom straight away asked me to come with him to see my grandmother. And he was actually awaiting for the last breath. Actually, my mother told me later on, is it? She actually not alert already, but she held my mother's hand because the message was given to my mother a few hours earlier. Then when my mother took me back, passed my hand to her because she know she cannot respond, and just told her, because she's still conscious, and told her that my second son is here. He just held my hand, though. The moment she held my hand, she smiled. Then she's gone. She's gone. Then after that, the stool all come out. That's why I also don't know how she know. And all people, he said, ask me to go back. I think when the consciousness is that, they can see, they can understand. Then a lot of things, yes, I look at her like very peaceful death, like very easy to die. Then later on, I saw my mother also. I was not there when she passed away, but my brother, they all told me. That morning, they called me. They said, Mother said she's not feeling well. Then I said, better send her to specialist center, don't wait. Because I know my mother one. She don't want to complain or trouble people. When she say, means very serious already. Because she doesn't want people to be burdened and waste money on her and all that. So I said, take her in. So it seems they took her in the day. Then that night, I think middle of the night, oh no, 9 something, I received a phone call. My mom passed away. And the next morning is our flight to Thailand. to Thailand. But I still go because everything has already been prepared, and we are my father's funeral. We already knew what to do, and my mother told me what she wants to do, and I was like, then my brother, they already know what to do. So everything was already planned. So what I'm trying to tell you is, when she was admitted, the doctor did the blood test, everything. Then they told my brother and my sister, your mom's organ is already mostly failed already. He said, you better wait for her time. And she was already 89 at that time, coming to 90 years old. So a very ripe, foolish. And she again, don't really suffer, pass away, just like that, one night in the ICU hospital. That's why I don't see much of this old age thing, except my father. My father was 2 weeks in the hospital. Then when I saw him suffering, I decided to ask my brother there, forget about asking him not to eat this, not to eat that, when you are in the hospital, this one cannot eat, that one cannot eat. I said, no point. Because my sister told me the organ also, most of them fail already. Chances of survival is, and I said, why not we do this? Ask that what he want. The moment we asked him, he was full of joy. Asam laksa. We wheelchair him out without the doctor's approval. Well, that day I saw him, the face was radiant. So much joy. Then later on he asked me to take him back to Alastair. I said, okay, we discharge you. Then I drove him back together with my sister. That's why this other thing that I was observing, but I couldn't get much out of it. I only heard from my father a few things. The eye, how he recovered. Then I knew technology helped a lot. He said, the lens, so wonderful. Then he told me, as he get older, his leg very weak. That's why you have to take care. He said, his leg very weak. My father last time also overweight because of the gene, I think. If they just take a lot of food, the DNA make them fat. But my father lost a lot of weight towards the later part of his life. So this is the thing that if you can learn, you pick it up early, then you become observant. Then you can actually cope with old age relatively well and easily. Then with the Dhamma is a blessing. Okay? We better end. Okay, 10:30. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the 2 hour plus of Dhamma sharing and puja. Then we will rejoice and share all these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devana mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa rakantu loka sasana itta wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu Sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena Mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo hotu, yawa nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Lord Buddha. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Yeah, it's on the 4th of December. 4th December. Yeah.